Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 39 through 46. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. For not all flesh is the same, but there is one kind for humans, another for animals, another for birds, and another for fish. There are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is of one kind, and the glory of the earthly is of another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for star differs from star in glory. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable, what is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. Thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. But it is not the spiritual that is first, but the natural, and then the spiritual. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Many and various ways God spoke to his people of old by the prophets. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
St. Paul writes to the church at Corinth to keep the faith whole. There were those, he says a little earlier, who denied the resurrection of the dead. Just one piece of the faith. But if the dead aren't raised, Christ wasn't raised. And you, he says, are still in your sins. And if that's the case, why go on baptizing? Hang it up. The faith can't be kept piecemeal. Doctrine is a whole. That is one sense of that word Catholicity that we Lutherans don't bandy about so much. It doesn't mean just what was always believed everywhere, thankfully, because nothing fits that bill anymore. But it also, better than that, means keeping the faith whole and undefiled that was delivered to us, which is important because, like trying to hold two magnets just a smidge apart, you haven't the power to hold your three quarters of the faith for long. You'll either be snapped to the hole or you'll pull away forever. Of course, the faith is not held in a vacuum, and what is seen contends with what is to be believed. We die, the scripture says, for example, on account of our sins. We like to measure things. Worse sinners, in our imagination at least, don't seem to die any sooner. So how much more can I get away with? And forgiveness, which we believe absolutely or should, undoes all that, but it sure doesn't seem to take away the wrinkles and bad joints. For Corinth to deny the resurrection and go on baptizing, it seems odd to us. That's not our problem until it is. Paul asks, if the resurrection is not so, if Christ is not raised, why he bothers to bear the danger of being an apostle? Why should he? Instead of simply living the let us eat and drink for tomorrow we die life with the fun but bad company that corrupts morals, as he says. Wake up from your drunken stupor, justly, he says, and do not go on sinning, for some have no knowledge of God. For your shame, he says this. He's not talking only about getting schnockered, but about worse, living in that particular cynical stupor that thinks the faith can be held half. But some, as he says, will sneer, how are the dead raised? That is, they'd rather go on with the eating and drinking and tomorrow dying and poke holes with cynical self-indulgence in what the faith really says about the death of Jesus and the life hence of him and his saints. And that, my friends, might be us. As we look at our neighbors and ask if the leopard can really change his spots, we look at a Thursday night of, or Tuesday night rather, of dissipation or fretting over our people getting into office, or rather than attending to growth in the Word of God, we might do what comes naturally instead of that, what is spiritual. But there is something bigger and more restorative at work here in what God does through the gospel. Through the death of Jesus, his resurrection, the resurrection life he means to give to us. Something bigger and more restorative here than in the usual options of leisure or cynicism or politics. So, to those who would believe in part and see in part, St. Paul tries to show here from what they think they see that it in fact shows what they ought to believe. In his list of things of the world, one kind of stuff and another, he shows how little we understand. Starting just before this piece with how seeds become trees and crops. How from one kind of stuff in the world, there came forth at God's command fish and birds, animals and men, all which reproduce according to their kind. Then there are the heavenly beings in their splendor. No one thing necessarily like another, so that one can't, if familiar only with one part, say that he knows them all. Even from what we do know, we ought to realize this. And so it is, Paul says, with the resurrection of the dead. We see in part and ought not assume something can't be that we don't know. We sow bodies into the ground in dishonor and weakness like easily despised seeds, but Paul says, as yet unseen to us, they are raised in glory and power. They are sown a natural body, but raised as one given life by the Spirit that proceeds from Christ into us. But he says the natural comes first, then the spiritual. A natural man doesn't grasp spiritual things. It's out of his league. It's totally new. The mystery is, he says a little bit later, we will be changed. It is a mystery. To look at me and to look at my brothers and to say we will be changed, that is a mystery. And not only in terms of wrinkles and joint pain and creeping decrepitude, but to be changed of soul, with regard to what we have done, what we have said, what we have thought. How is this even possible from what we see? But the faith says, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you, and changed we shall be. It's another part of the faith that we must hold whole and undefiled. To believe that the death and resurrection of Jesus applied will change me and will change you, or even them. For disbelieving that Christ can change me or you or them doesn't just despise them in the end, or you, but worse, him. We say with skepticism, how are the dead going to be raised? Mea culpa. Jesus, save us from this. Change us. It's not just individual. There's a corporate sense here, too. But what is the church but the body of Christ assembled? We'll install a Christian in a bit to an office within my office of the secretary. It's a little late. That's my fault. But the good thing, he's not only accepted the position, he's confirmed himself in it by some endurance already. It's kind of an odd job, maybe even a dangerous one. For we have to look at things as they are now in the synod, in our corner of the church that we're responsible for, so that the body can try to act wisely for all its parts. There are things in looking into all of that that could chip away when we see them at what is to be believed. There are many seeds being planted into the ground everywhere. after all, and seeming weakness and dishonor. Many more seeds being planted than there seem to be seeds plopping down new into the pews. That's a concern. There are problems of doctrine, of order, of flesh, of bread. The "we shall be changed" remains mysterious. If for one, how much more for the lot? But St. Paul teaches us what is sown in dishonor is raised in glory. And the natural body has to come first, that the power may be in Christ and not in us. For what all the doctrine plugs into is that which is of first importance, that he died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised the third day, appeared to many, dispatched the apostles with the word of him that bears the spirit of him who gives life even to our mortal bodies. And in that great mystery, we shall be changed. And so to see the word go forth, where change is yet needed, especially where change is yet needed, is to see Christ himself at work. And what joy that is for faith. And so, my friends and Christian, work in my peculiar office or in your peculiar offices is not bad for the faith, but good. For the natural body does come first. And the Spirit of Christ and of the Father works the spiritual on it, and we shall be changed as long as we do not depart as cynics and half-hearts, but hold the faith and look for his work and expect it to work, and are thus snapped to and made whole. Thanks be to God who gives us, yet unseen but to be believed, this victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, and knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. In the holy name of Jesus.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.